Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you had a... Hey, it's warm. It's almost too warm. It's all muggy and weird outside. I know it beats 0 degrees, but I'm not that crazy about this. It should be a little bit springier and lighter. Anyway, who the hell cares about the weather? Oh, except for tonight. It's supposed to be, aren't we getting like a superstorm, whatever, a nor'easter? Something bad's going to happen tonight in terms of the weather. I am kind of somewhat curious about that. But can we have Jacqueline when she gets a chance? I just need to be totally briefed. In the meantime, Joe Biden just got a major, major break in his campaign to rip apart and divide this country. A horrible, horrible shooting in Buffalo. Looks like this 18-year-old nut job is a total racist and obviously a psychotic individual. This is motivated by hatred of people who don't look like him, as the saying goes, and it is horrific. It is awful. It is. I always found it to be a little bit redundant when you shoot somebody. Isn't that inherently a hate crime? But, you know, we're going to label it a hate crime. And I guess that's good because then you can, you know, tag on extra charges and make sure the guy goes away for a long time if he's guilty. And it looks like he is. The evidence is overwhelming. And yeah, really hateful, nasty, racist stuff. That big essay of his online about how he hates black people and they're ruining this, all this horrible stuff, right? And yeah, I see the media is jumping up and down about it, you know, and I, quite frankly, that's okay because it is a horrible racist attack. And that's all right to talk about it. You should talk about it right up until the moment they start blaming the right, the conservative right. The mainstream conservative right, if you want to call it MAGA, you want to call it whatever you want, blaming people like Tucker Carlson, blaming people like me. Hideous, hideous, hideous rhetoric. Now, this guy, this shooter, I don't know his name, and even if I did, I wouldn't say it. You know, that's supposed to motivate them, by the way. You know, they all kind of want to be famous, so it's good. And let's face it, we're getting so many mass shooters, I can't keep them straight anymore. I really can't. What's the name of that guy who shot up the subway station? Who knows? Oh, by the way, he was motivated by hatred of white people. Somehow the authorities don't want to put that out there. Now, they're putting it out about this guy, and that's fine. I want to hear it. I want to know. But why don't they put it out about a guy like, wait a second, I can get his name, Frank James. What about the Waukesha massacre driver? Remember this? Probably don't, because the mainstream media tried to bury it as soon as they found out, and I hate to be this crass, I hate to be this blunt, but that it was a black guy who hated white people, they ran from the story. Oh, they didn't like that story at all. It does not feed their narrative of white supremacy everywhere. And now we finally, they're this is their lucky day, they finally got a genuine and apparently a genuine white supremacist. And he's a foul, sick individual. And they couldn't be happier on the left. Oh, yes. And now we can paint with a break out that big, broad brush. You see, we told you what would happen. Now, this guy, even according to his own silly document where he's putting out there why he hates black people, why he hates Asian people, why he's doing this, why all that ugly, ugly stuff. You know where he's getting his motivation? From the depths and bowels of the internet. I mean, really weirdo sites. He's going to, what's that thing called again? 4chan? I've heard of 4chan. I've never seen it. I don't know it. I have never been there. I don't know anything about it. Every now and then you hear a shooter and they always seem to like 4chan. And there's a conversation about everything, apparently, there, from bestiality to racism to you name it. You can find it on 4chan. And a bunch of weirdos go there. There's another website. It's Reddit, which, oh, by the way, has, I think, a mainstream component. I mean, there are people who talk about real estate and all kinds of things there. But if you dig a little deeper, you can find those weirdo websites, weirdo discussion groups, and they're talking about all kinds of ugly things. I'd never been to any of those sites. But these are the sites that fired up this shooter up in Buffalo. Okay? And it's crazy, and it's weird, and it's and I'm glad they got him. But how does a Waukesha crazy maniac massacrist, is that a word? A guy who pulled off that massacre in his car, mowed down 10 people, six of them dead. Actually, he mowed down about 15 people, six of them died. All white people, because he was fired up by all the systemic racism. Does he have to go to the depths of the internet to go to a bunch of websites you never heard of? And I wouldn't even know how to find 4chan. I don't think you just go to 4chan.com, do you? I think it's a little bit more involved than that. I mean, you got to know your way around the internet. Look, I go to like five websites and I keep going there. That's it. I don't know about this weird stuff. But there are some people out there who do. All that guy had to do, though, the Wisconsin massacre guy, or Frank James, that's his name, the one who shot up the subway car, or how about the Dallas nutjob veteran of the Army who opened fire on police officers? He didn't like them because they were white, although, oh, by the way, he accidentally shot a black guy. There are so many of these cases where the shooter happens to be a person of color. They're all crazy, but some of them are getting their motivation not from the depths of the internet, but from MSNBC. Regular cable TV shows. That's where it is. And it's when are we going to have a full and clear conversation about that? Right now, the conversation that's happening is false and dangerous. I see Kathy Hochul. Kathy Hochul is, oh boy, did she jump. She's really trying to exploit this one. And she's, in her ignorance, saying that we need to close social media companies, and this is a, you know, speech issue, and you can't say things that are incendiary online. What? Stop it. Stay the hell out of it. You don't know what you're talking about. Every time she opens her mouth, she's a very, very foolish woman. I'm not allowed to endorse, but I hope she loses. Who's running against her, by the way? On the Democrat side, we've got Tom Suozzi. Well-known, reasonable person. I hope he wins. On the Republican side, who do we have? We got three guys you can't lose. You got Giuliani, you got Astorino, and you got Zeldin. I'd be happy with any of those guys, including Suozzi on the Democrat side. This woman has got to go. Remember when she came out after the subway shooting? She was like, this has to stop, and it stops right now. I've had it with these shootings. No more shootings. This has to stop. Do me a favor. See if you can find that. It was so funny. It was like she was yelling at a bunch of kids who jumped in her pool in the backyard. She was upset. You kids have to stop ruining my pool. I just paid for the pool guy. This has to stop. It stops now. All right. All right. Where else are we? What else do we got? We'll keep an eye on that. It was amazing. Again, the contrast. I'm going to do it on the Newsmax show tonight. You'll see the difference in coverage. Anytime the assailant is a person of color, it's downplayed, it's obscured, it's we don't want to talk about that. But if it's a white individual, the motives are fully explored. Again, I don't have a problem with that, quite frankly. We're interested. I mean, these shootings are horrible. They happen. We want to know everything. And I want to know that this guy's a racist. And I do. It's part of the story. It's important. I'm not complaining that that's included. I am complaining that they're trying to tie it to ordinary folks, you know, conservatives, quite frankly, like Tucker Carlson and others. Oh, this is a result of his extolling the, what do they call it, the white replacement theory. And people are really upset that people of color are coming to America and replacing them. No, you morons, that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. You know, let's go through some of my heroes. This is what I love about conservatives. I really do. They don't care what you look like. They don't care where you came from. One of the most beautiful moments in the Republican convention of 2020 is when Donald Trump ran a citizenship ceremony in the White House for, I think, five immigrants from all over the world. I don't remember the countries. I do remember some were South Asia, some were Africa, some were Central America, South America, and it was beautiful. And you know why it's beautiful? Because they came here legally. And it's even extra beautiful because when an immigrant comes here to this country, a legal immigrant, and they pledge allegiance, they take that citizenship oath. You should read the oath sometime. Because more is required of them than of people who were born here, believe it or not. Seriously, they've got to make all kinds of pledges about, you know, they'll take up arms for this country if necessary, and if they're a conscientious objector, they'll let soldiers live in their house. It's actually more, there are more requirements if you came here later in life and you had to take the citizenship up. I love legal immigrants. I do. I love people, period. I like some of my heroes, some of the people I've gotten to know since I've started here at WABC and at Newsmax. Dinesh D'Souza. Gosh, the guy's brilliant. I've known about him for what? How long has he been around? Since the 90s. He's the guy who started Dartmouth, the Dartmouth Review. Anyway, he's a brilliant guy. He's been around for a long time. I don't know where his ancestors are from, but I think it might be India. I don't know. He's a person of color. Who cares? He's brilliant. And by the way, you should see his 2000 Mules movie. Who else do I like that I've gotten to know recently? Alan West. Unfortunately, just a one-term congressman from Florida. Now he's in Texas. This guy is bold and smart, and he's a hero, served in Iraq, and I like him. I like him a lot. Who else do we like that I've gotten to know since I started here? Candace Owens! Are you kidding me? She's just an incredible force. An incredible force. The list goes on and on and on. John Yoo, Y-O-O. Do you know him? He's a conservative lawyer. I believe he clerked for Justice Thomas, and he's doing amazing things right now, sticking up for our side. He's a veteran of the George W. Bush White House Justice Department. One of the things I like about him is he never actually even met George W. Bush. You can go on and on and on. Our side does not care where you came from, what you look like, none of that stuff, because it's not important. We care about ideas. We care about character, kind of like Martin Luther King. And oh, by the way, you ever want to get a liberal upset, mention Martin Luther King. You notice? They don't talk about him very much. They talk about all these new woke heroes of theirs, but not him. They roll their eyes. They roll their eyes. As a matter of fact, I think Martin Luther King Day makes more and more sense than ever before. All right, give me a moment. It's time. I will return in a moment.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, I just can't believe that we had another mass shooting. Yes, this weekend, after a couple of weeks ago, we had that bad situation in the subway in Brooklyn. I mean, Governor Hochul gave us all a really strong talking to, right? I mean, she was so upset. She was so offended about this. And she said, you know, it's got to stop. And I figured, okay, that's it. Go ahead.
No more mass shootings. No more disrupting lives. No more creating heartbreak for people just trying to live their lives as normal New Yorkers. It has to end. It ends now. And we are sick and tired of reading headlines about crime, whether they're mass shootings or the loss of a teenage girl or a 13-year-old. It has to stop. I'm committing the full resources of our state to fight this surge of crime, this insanity that is seizing our city, because we want to get back to normal.
Can you believe it didn't work? That impassioned speech. Again, it sounded like she was talking to a bunch of kids running on her lawn or something like that. It has to stop, and it has to stop now. I'm telling you, for the last time, can you believe it didn't work? All right. Hey, look, what the hell's going on with the weather? It's cloudy right now. It was sunny this morning. I heard, this is how oblivious I am to the weather. I just heard somebody mention it, and I did see something on a computer about extreme weather advisory. Jacqueline Carl, who's not a meteorologist, but What is your you're a news person? You're the anchor here.
Mm-hmm, I am.
What's the deal with the weather?
All right, so typically this kind of severe weather doesn't affect the five boroughs much. So it's mainly north and west of us. It's going to like.
Hey, can I ask you something? Do you hear the air conditioner? Can you guys hear that on air? We got like
I can hear it.
It's like a. It's really loud. I mean, I don't. Can is it bothering you guys at home? Everybody can hear it. That's an air conditioner. I mean, it's not that. What's going on? Why is that? It's like the size of from the 1950. By the way, what the hell is that thing?
I don't know. It's above my pay grade.
Above your pay grade, air conditioning. That's you could say it's beneath your pay grade. Perhaps.
Oh my!
I don't want to cast any aspersions.
I'm not
on
an
our,
elitist.
Well. I want this air con. I can't. It's like white. I can't work like this.
You can't. I can't work like
this. I can't work like this. It's humming in the background.
All right. What would you like us to do?
Let's go home.
All right. We should all leave early because
where
of a few raindrops.
Oh, well, get a guy. I just did. You hear that? I was sorry. I was just
no,
kidding.
Okay.
All right.
Look, I was ready to let it slide. You brought it up again.
Within two seconds. Goodness. Hey, don't act like I'm the most inappropriate person here. I saw you on Friday. I mean, unbelievably cavorting and I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
It wasn't
that professional, you know.
A typical impromptu one song dance party in the social media department.
Well, actually, it wasn't in the social media department. It was in the main corridor of WABC.
It was in the social media department.
No, it was outside the social media department. You were dancing in the hallway. Just so you know, because I could tell you put me on notice already with my little arch and granted inappropriate innuendo there. All right, never mind.
You're just jealous because you can't dance. That's it.
I can dance.
You weren't invited to the party.
All right, I'm not going to say anything else because Jacqueline.
If you want to come next Friday, you better zip it. And you want to talk about the weather?
Yeah, well, what's going to happen?
So we could get severe wind damage, hail, possibly even tornadoes in the five boroughs, but I choose not to believe that.
Well, you don't have the expertise to dismiss that. You're not the meteorologist. What's going to happen?
I don't know the things I can do.
Stop it. We need to know about the weather here. Hold on a second. We're going to have tornadoes in the city.
There's a possibility of it, but there's more likely north and west of us. But this is really the first time in a long time I've heard them say we could possibly get them in the five boroughs. And this is afternoon through the evening.
All right. So hold on a second. Let me.
As you can see outside right now, it looks like it's about to pour.
It looks ominous.
But the wind, there's going to be wind damage. So if you're on the roads, you need to use caution because this tends to knock over power lines, trees.
All right. Let me give you some more information. Elevated risk for severe thunderstorms this afternoon. Threats include downpours, hail, and damaging wind. I'm just reiterating what you said. Mm-hmm. A tornado is not out of the question, especially west. A travel advisory has been issued in New York City for Monday due to severe weather. Tap the link. Never mind. I can't do that. I don't know. Do you think we should all evacuate?
I think we should go home after this segment, everyone. Just play some music.
Play some music. Just have the robot take over.
Yeah.
I don't have that option.
You don't?
No. I got a national TV show across the street.
That's true.
I have been in that building. You know how many people have been with me? Three. It's like got hundreds of people. Three during COVID were there. Three.
Were you one of them?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'll get the metal ready.
You seem very blasé about the weather, so I don't know.
I just don't believe we're going to see a tornado in the five boroughs. I just don't.
It's happened before.
When was this?
I know. It just has happened. I know it's happened. Did I see one? I know it's happened.
I've never seen one.
It's definitely happened. It happened in Queens a couple of years ago. It did. Do me a favor. Kevin's looking it up. It's happened. And all right. So by the way, not everybody lives, 10 blocks from the station. You're pretty close to the station. A lot of people live, you know, like, what's his name? Rich. He lives all the way out in Baldwin.
Well, you know, it is going to be dangerous driving conditions this afternoon into the evening. So
Mike
people
DiDino,
that can go home.
Mike DiDino, he lives all the way, I think, in not Bayshore. What's that other town he lives in? Not Malvern. He lives out there somewhere, too.
Yeah, I understand.
These are our teammates, and we got to take care of them. All right.
Get your people on it, Greg.
I will. And, oh, by the way, thank you. One thing I will be focusing on tonight, I can't stand her. You don't have to weigh in. I know you don't like to offer your opinions, and you can't, but this Kathy Barnett is one scammer. I think she's a scammer. She's running for the Senate in Pennsylvania, and she is nothing checks out. Nothing at all checks out. Did you guys find that soundbite yet I told you about? So she's on the Fox News Sunday show, and she won't answer the most basic questions. Her claim to fame is she went to Officer Candidate School. Did you know I went to Officer Candidate School?
I knew you were in the military.
Well, I went to Officer Candidate School, and I graduated from it.
Is it a hard school?
It's a very hard school, but you know, as hard as it was like the first thing I did in the military. And like then you do other things, and it usually doesn't make it to your resume. She puts on her resume, her crowning achievement is that she was accepted at OCS. I've been through all of her paperwork. I don't believe her. I absolutely do not believe her. She's making that up. And the other thing is, let me see here. She is, oh, shoot. Oh, there's the music. Oh, she shames people for not voting for her. She says, if you don't do that, you're a racist against black people. All kinds of weird shenanigans. Anyway, Jacqueline, Carl, thank you for sharing your insight into the weather situation and your prediction that there will not be a tornado.
Thank you for having me on, Gregory.
Thank you. All right. To be continued, and I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, 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 internet problems, Wi-Fi. Why the hell do we have Wi-Fi passcodes and all that stuff? Everyone's making it. So who wants to hack into somebody's ordinary email account? I guess the Chinese, the Russians, who wants to do that? We've made it so cumbersome and weird. I can't stand it. And now I can't get online and I'm all messy and, angry about it. That's fine. That's fine. I can hack it. Sorry. I can hack it. I promise. All right. Oh, yeah. So here's that fraud, that phony baloney, Kathy Barnett. I'm telling you guys, she is pulling a great big scam. Hey, how about this? She can just run full time for office. She ran for Congress in 2020, loses by 20 points, and then just, I'll take that failure and I'll run again. I'll run for Senate in 2 years. What does she do for a living? I'd like to know. What's your job? That's my only question. What is your job? And I can hear it already. I'm a mom. I'm a veteran. I am a conference speaker. Like just this weird, vague, what? No, you're not. Something's up. And here she is on Fox News Sunday yesterday. A pretty direct, straightforward question from Shannon Bream. She's filling in on a Fox News Sunday show. They're all taking turns after Chris Wallace quit or got fired, whatever happened. He left in a huff. Chris Wallace, remember that guy? He didn't even thank anybody on the way out. Didn't thank one person. Well, you know, I've been hosting the show for most of the past 25 years, so it's all me. You know, Tony Snow, his predecessor, he thanked everybody. He was thanking Fox News when he left the job at the White House press secretary. You know he became White House press secretary.
Tony talked a little bit like this, and he's really a great guy. And he said, I want to thank my makeup artist at Fox News Sunday.
He thanked everybody. The late, great Tony Snow. He died. Oh, gosh. How long ago is it? 10 years at least. Great guy. It was very helpful to me. You know, very few people look out for you at work. It's unfortunate. I like to think I'll look out for you guys. You come to me with a problem. I mean, we're all so consumed with our own problems and our own standing that we often don't have the bandwidth, we think, to look out for and help. Oh, it's starting to rain right now. Big time. All right, be careful out there. But don't everybody run home. I see a whole contingent here that I'm familiar with. They're running home. They've got permission to go home. Why? Why don't you wait out the rain? Go home. It doesn't seem, anyway. All right, Kathy Barnett, here she is. What school did you go to? Oh, no, where did you teach? All right, take it away, Shannon Bream.
Where were you an adjunct college professor?
Yes, you know, and in fact, you can go to my website. We've placed right there on the front page, you'll see my family, and around my family is a will, and we place right there the things you want to know about Kathy Barnett. You know, I've been running this race now for about 13 months, and if you listen to the mainstream media, you would think I crawled from under a rock yesterday. I did not. These last couple of months, we've been traveling.
Notice she's not answering the question.
Every single week. So I have been out here stomping the ground, getting beginning to understand what the issues are of Pennsylvania, and the media was derelict in their duty. I've been in a statistical tie for first place, not just 1 week, but for about 4 weeks. So I've been out here doing the hard work. The numbers have been showing it. No one paid attention to me. They were too obsessed with the two men in this race and didn't bother to take a look at what it is that we were doing.
So where were you, an adjunct professor? She said, I think she said at the top she's going to make it really short. Can I just hear the very first portion? Let me hear that question again.
Where were you, an adjunct college professor?
Yes, you know, and in fact, you can go to my website. We've placed right there on the front
page. All right,
page,
do me a favor. Stop this, okay? What happens? Why do we take out little words in the answers? This is very important, folks, okay? We took out some of her words in the answer. I need to hear that again, and I need to hear it. I know what happens. You guys try to quicken it so there's no dead air. But I need the actual raw form, all right? Do me a favor. I need it from start to finish. I don't want anybody to abridge it, all right? We need to do this right away, okay? Because we can, and number one, she did not answer the question. You heard that. But the part that I want you to hear is that she says, let me be really short about this. And then she goes on for a minute and a half, okay? And refers to the website. Now, I went to the website, by the way, and how does she establish that she was at Judson University? Because some guy tweeted that she was at Judson University. Not Judson University, by the way. Some guy said, I just taught at Judson University, and they say she worked there. When did she work there? What did she teach? And who the hell are you? Why aren't I hearing from an official at Judson University? Why haven't they put out paper in writing about this? I'll tell you why, because she wasn't. She was not. She went to a breakfast there. She's scamming. She's resume padding. People do it. And when you run for the Senate, you get burned. Here's something else. Going back to the OCS thing, she says, let's see here. This is on the website as well. Remember, her most important achievement in the Marine Corps, I'm sorry, in the Army Reserves, is Officer Candidate School, okay? On her own website, number three, these are the things you should know about Kathy, point three. Did you get that yet? All right, we'll come back to it in a second. First, let me go through this. Point three, when was she in Officer Candidate School? Answer, and this is on her own, she's asking and answering her own questions. Kathy was accepted into Officer Candidate School. She went through the rigorous process applying, being vetted, and interviewed. She was accepted, but she did not finish the program because she got married. Kathy has never claimed to have graduated from Officer Candidate School. Okay. The question you were supposed to answer was, when was she in Officer Candidate School? She doesn't answer that on her own damn website. And oh, by the way, I've been through her documentation. There's absolutely no way she was accepted into Officer Candidate School. None. And again, this is not the kind of thing you put on a resume. I was accepted, but I did not go to Officer Candidate School. I know guys who didn't make it into Officer Candidate School or had to leave Officer Candidate School. Trust me, they're not putting it on their resume because essentially it's a failure. Now, I graduated even, and I don't put it on my resume because it's too long ago, and it's like you go on from there. The military, if you're not at war, you're probably going to some school. They got a million schools. They got amphibious warfare school. They got information operations school. They got command and staff college. They got communications school. They got logistics school. They got supply school. They got how to fix a tank school. All these schools. And you don't put down, I got accepted at tank school, but I didn't graduate. Something's very weird. I'm telling you. Don't screw this up. Let's see here. Who do we have? Pam is up in Orange County. Yes. Hi.
Hi, Greg. You're number one. I tell everybody to watch you. The Club for Growth, I'm very disappointed in all the people that are against Trump and want you to vote for Kathy Barnett. Rick Santorum, Ted Cruz, Pompeo, Governor Huckabee, Sarah Huckabee, are they rhinos? And
have they taken positions? Don't tell me they all endorsed Kathy, did they?
they're all going around and campaigning. I'm very upset about it.
Hold on. Well, let me look. The Club for Growth, quite frankly, I've never been able to figure out. Every time I hear it, I really think it's that,
you know, I'm not only a member of the Club for Growth. I'm not only a member. I'm also a client.
Every time I hear it, it's about hair for me. The Club for Growth, right? Doesn't it remind you of that hair? You know, the bald guy who grows hair?
Oh, no.
No, you're far more serious and studious than I am. I'm sorry. I'm so silly. That's what I think of when I hear this. So wait a second. Huckabee? I can't believe Huckabee? Huckabee is going with this? Huckabee is undermining Trump? Are you sure?
Yes. I heard it many times. The daughter, they're campaigning Sarah and Governor Huckabee. Rick.
All right. You're wrong. I just went to his, and I don't mean that in a malicious way, Pam, but, you know, Governor Mike Huckabee, he endorses somebody else. He's endorsing Dave McCormick, all right? So it says right there on the top of his Twitter page. I'm looking at it right now.
Wrong, but.
Wait, what? Wait a second. That's a big deal. I know about Club for Growth, and I know they're trying to screw up Trump, and they're doing all kinds of other weird stuff. But you just rattled off a whole list of people, Pam, and I don't think they're with Kathy. And the first one,
I'm sorry, it's McCormick, but they gave $2 million to Kathy Barnett.
No, Pam, they did not. And Club for Growth may have done that. Club for Growth may have a super PAC that's working with her, but no, you can't give $2 million. You got to be careful. All those people. No, they're not. They're not with Kathy. They're not going against Trump. And I've not seen much in the way of that kind of high profile support. I haven't. I've seen a lot. What?
McCormick. And McCormick is.
Yeah, we don't like McCormick either. I mean, but look, I can't stand McCormick. I want Oz. All right. I do. But, you know, I can live with a McCormick. I can live with it. I wouldn't like it. I'd be frustrated. I'd be like, there goes another career politician. You know, I would be frustrated. Okay. But he's not a total lunatic, but like, Barnett. Hey, by the way, do we have the sound yet? All right. Now I want to play it again. Pam, do me a favor. Stay with me. Here she is not answering a very direct question about the adjunct professorship. Go ahead.
Where were you an adjunct college professor?
Yes, you know, in fact, let me just make this really short for you, and to your list and to your viewers. You can go to my website at barnettforsenate.com. We've placed right there on the front page. You'll see my family, and around my family is a will, and we've
she's not answering
right there the things you want to know about Kathy Barnett. You know,
yeah, where'd you go? Where were you an adjunct
now for about 13 months. And if you listen to the mainstream media, you would think I crawled from under a rock.
You're
yesterday.
Double talking, people.
I did not. We've been out here for 13 months. We started off doing about 900 miles a week, then bumped it up to 1,000. Now,
must
these
be
last
fun.
Couple of months, we've been traveling over 1,500 miles
beats
every
working,
single
right?
week. So I have been out here.
So what college?
The ground, getting to understand what the issues are.
Oh,
for Savannah,
good. On the job
the
training.
Media was derelict in their duty. I've been and
well.
I've been taught in a statistic.
Nobody took you seriously.
For first place,
because you're not a serious person.
But for about 4 weeks.
And you're
so
not a serious
I've been
candidate.
You're doing the hard work. The numbers have been
hard
showing.
Work.
That no one paid attention to me.
And
they were too
posing
obsessed
for pictures.
With the two men in this race and didn't bother to
yeah,
take
men
a look
of
at
substance and accomplishment. The two men. Did you hear that? The two men. As if there's a problem being a man. Well, I happen to be a man, and I don't think it's a problem. You know, I don't tell many people this, but I once thought about running for Congress. I did, a million years ago. And I didn't do it. I was just thinking, if I ran and lost by 20 points, who in the hell would I be to turn around and run for the Senate 2 years later? Or actually, for her, 13 months. So she started running right away. A professional office seeker. A grifter. Raising money, driving around. Again, beats working. Pam, I'll give you the final word on that.
Why are these people that are supposed to be Trump supporters going with David McCormick, going against the right one that we would lose if we don't win with Dr. Oz? I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, so am I. But do me a favor. You know, look, it's tomorrow's election day. Let's keep our spirits up, all right? It's a competitive race. And I do believe that they owe it to Trump, quite frankly, to go with his pick, because the mainstream media, they are just pouncing. They are just ready to write the story. Donald Trump's influence and grip of the Republican Party is eroding, and now it speaks very poorly of his prospects in 2024. They'll do all that crap. So they owe it to Trump, in my opinion. Thank you, Pam. Let me do one more. Mary is in Hoboken. Mary in Hoboken. Yes. Hi.
Hi, Greg. I spoke with you many months ago. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I wrote you a poem one time, and I wrote about the 13, you know, that were killed in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I know. I do remember that. That was beautiful.
All right. Well, that's fine. But, Greg, about a half hour ago when you were worried about the air conditioner making noises on the radio.
Yeah.
I called immediately to tell you that it was loud and clear in here where I'm living in New Jersey. So that's what I wanted to let you know, because you were worried that the air conditioner noise was making sounds on the radio, and it wasn't.
Well, it was more that it was making sounds in my ear. I mean, I could hear it. It started to bother me, even
to the outside,
you know,
to the people.
I know, but it was also messing with me. Now it's turned off. But then again, now I'm hot. So, Mary, I don't know. I'm bitching too much. I love it here. I love it here. Anyway, Mary, listen, thank you very much.
My favorite, up until 7 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Wait, what happens at 7 o'clock? What?
That you're on at 7 o'clock when Jesse Waters is on, Greg, but I chose you.
Oh, good.
To watch. Yes. And I watch you at 11 o'clock, too, if I miss you at 7.
Oh, thank you very much.
Fan of yours, Greg, and I talk to Joe Piscopo every Sunday.
Oh, you like all of us. You like all of us.
Yeah. Only you two, though.
I get very jealous when I hear about Joe Piscopo. You know what I mean? I like to think the fans are... No, Mary, I appreciate it so much. Mary from Hoboken, and that was a very, very beautiful poem. Keep the poetry coming, okay?
I will.
All right. Thank you, Mary, very, very much. And how is that Jesse Waters guy doing? No, he's doing fine. He's all right. I once got mad at him, and I shouldn't have done that. If I ever see Jesse, I'm going to, quite frankly, unfortunately, have to say, sorry about that, pal. But you ever go, ever, you know, I tweet a lot. I do. It's fun. I'd say one tweet in 100. I'm like, maybe not. And that was one of those, maybe not. But I haven't had one of those in a while. All right. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, Joe Biden is, very excited about the horrible attack in Baltimore, because he's on his way to exploit it. He'll be going there with Air Force One and his whole entourage to console the people of Buffalo. Why is it Buffalo, not Waukesha, Wisconsin, huh? Why was it Atlanta and not New York City? There's money to be made, political profit to be garnered, all right? That's what's happening. And it's unbelievably cynical. This is the guy who said he'd bring us all together. And not only that, not only say, I'm going to unite the country. He said, my whole soul is in this, a sacred promise to bring this country together. He said that on Inauguration Day. And now that he's got the job, no. Cut 69, please.
Before I begin, let me say a word about yesterday's mass shooting in Buffalo, New York. The lone gunman, armed with weapons of war and hate-filled soul, shot and killed 10 innocent people in cold blood at a grocery store on Saturday afternoon. Jill and I, like all of you, pray for the victims and their families and a devastated community.
Next, cut 70, please.
I've been receiving updates from my team in the White House that's in close contact with the Justice Department. We're still gathering the facts, but already the Justice Department has stated publicly that it is investigating the matter as a hate crime, racially motivated act of white supremacy and violent extremism. As they do, we must all work together to address the hate that remains a stain on the soul of America. The hearts are heavy once again, but a resolve must never, ever waver.
Now, you can look it up, as I already have done. He reserves his outrage for the very few examples of white supremacy. And when white people harm people of color, which, by the way, is very rare, it should be condemned, obviously, and it is totally. But what about the horror of black identity extremism, which is a real thing, baby? I wish it wasn't, but it is. Although then again, the FBI tried to erase it and pretend it doesn't exist. Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can look it up. A guy drove into a parade with a vehicle because he hated white people. It's not 5 years ago. It was Christmas. This last Christmas. The media didn't care. Joe Biden didn't go. He's going tomorrow with Jill and the whole entourage. Spoke about it so powerfully and movingly, this Buffalo thing. Waukesha, you just don't fit the narrative. I'm sorry. And by the way, as horrible as these mass shootings are, we've seen them. We have them. It's tough. I did hear from someone over the weekend who said, you know, imagine if some folks in the grocery store had guns. And I understand there was one security guard, but, you know, waiting for the cops to show up. This is one of the reasons why people buy guns. And the aftermath is something like this. But the Waukesha guy, video after video, statement after statement, online and elsewhere, is fired up by a hatred of white people and police. Where could he have gotten those crazy ideas, huh? The mainstream media force feeds everybody every single day. Now, this nutbag in Buffalo, you can't get that from the mainstream media. That's not what I'm advocating. That's not what, well, I'm not mainstream media, by the way. You could call me, what am I, conservative media, right-wing media? I'm okay with that. I don't know if everybody I work with is necessarily okay with that. You guys, I don't want to say you're right-wing, but, you know, whatever. Right-wing, I don't find it a pejorative. Some people do, but I don't. But we're about ideas, conservative ideas. I don't care what people look like. We don't care what people look like. The left does. So for the crazy stuff this guy was into, he'd have to go to the depths of 4chan and Reddit and all kinds of weird places on the internet. I've never been, and I'm never going to go. Where do I like to go? I like to go to Drudge Report. I like to go to the New York Post. I like to go to a few other sites. Never mind. And no, I'm only, well, I'm pretty much, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone. Hey, Rena is in Cold Spring Harbor. Hello.
No, I'm not in Cold Spring Harbor.
Well, excuse me.
I'm in Cold Spring, New York.
I know where that is. It's on the river. It's right across from West Point.
Yes,
it's a very beautiful spot. How close are you to the water?
I'm about a mile away, not even half a mile. I just drive down Main Street, and there it is.
Ever go to the library there? It's like from the 1930s. It's beautiful. Actually, it's probably even older than that.
It's older than that. It's the Julia L. Butterfield Memorial Library, and it is magnificent and has great artwork. And next year we hope to have a bicentennial for Julia Butterfield's birthday. But this is not why I'm calling.
You didn't call about the library? I'm sorry. What's up?
I'm calling to talk to you about Jessica Corey, Inspector Jessica Corey of the NYPD, who on Friday filed a defamation claim against Adams and City Councilwoman Wan.
Why? What did they say about her?
Well, she's the former hate crimes boss, and Adams threw her under the bus.
All right, Rena, do me a favor. This sounds complicated. If you want, stick around. I got to go to a commercial. I'll take your call in a little bit, okay? In addition to the others, be right back.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment, or newbridgehealth.org.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Speaking of entertaining, my babies. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Annalise, I went with her to the Lego store. And what a treat, by the way. The Lego store on Fifth Avenue. You like Legos? I loved them when I was a kid. They've really gotten very sophisticated. This is involved. I think the best Lego setup I've ever seen is the Apollo 11 rocket, the Saturn V, baby. You can buy that. It's so authentic looking. I didn't notice that in stock. But anyway, my daughter, who's a little bit, what is she, 2.5? Is she 2.5? Not yet 2.5. 2 years, 5 months. Anyway, just delightful walking around. Now she's speaking words, she's saying things, and it really is something. I mean, she pointed at my plate the other day and said, dinner. I didn't know who the hell told her this word. You know, they're just absorbing stuff all the time, which I think is fabulous. And it does look like, at least on the weekends, New York is feeling like New York again. I had to wait online to get into the Lego store, and the person behind me was from California, and they were there on vacation, and just everybody seemed to be from out of town. And that's a good thing, right? You want people coming and buying tickets and going to the shows. They go to the shows, so I don't have to. I have no interest in Broadway. I love that it's there. I love that I go once a year, once every 2 years, once every 3 years. Got to support the arts, right? But 2 minutes in, I'm like, oh, God, why did I do this? Seats are so unbelievably uncomfortable. All right. So this is a major, major, major opportunity for mainstream media. You know, they don't cover every shooting. They just cover the shootings they can blame on Trump, conservatives, Tucker Carlson, me to a lesser extent. That's what they're trying to do. Can you believe it? And they will not stop with this hideous. Now, this guy up there, 18 years old, total nut job. Yes. Racially motivated, racist, crazy person. Open fire. And he happened to be white, and his target were people of color. And that's horrendous. That's awful. And it's appropriately covered, and it's appropriately called what we think it is, a racist attack. But why is it that they won't say, why they won't be so honest and open? And by the way, quick to label, in even with overwhelming evidence, Frank James, you can go look it up, the guy who's, like, I saw hours and hours of his YouTube page. The foulest, most racist stuff imaginable was not mentioned. It was just like he was, he had a bad day and he opened fire. Talk about Frank James. Well, Frank James happened to be black. He happened to target people who were not black. Actually, something else. You haven't heard too much about the victims. Some of them were Asian, I'm told. Yes, there is friction between blacks and Asians. Yes, there is. It's true. Not all, of course, but that's a thing. Yet they don't talk about it. But yes, Joe Biden runs to Atlanta when a white person is accused of shooting Asian people, even though the FBI, local law enforcement, the guy himself says it had nothing to do with race. It had something to do with some other crazy thing. But they ignore it. They want to score points. But score points to what? At what cost? Is winning elections, is shoring up Democrats, that Joe Biden is on a mission to destroy this country. I really believe it, actually. A guy who said on Inauguration Day, I'm going to unite us, is just egging on. He wants people at each other's throats. And it's such a wasted opportunity. Imagine that. Imagine. Well, I guess it's not hard to imagine because the guy has no soul. He has no soul. Hey, I do like it that Netflix has lightened up. Netflix said, if you don't like our content, you can work somewhere else. They put it out in an official memo to everybody. Remember when Dave Chappelle told some pretty good jokes and the woke world went just totally nuts and it looked for a while that Netflix was going to pull a Disney and totally cave? Here's Dave Chappelle being funny on his special at Netflix. This helped cause all the trouble for him, although he's a survivor and you can't cancel Chappelle. 54.
This lesbian fella stepped between us. Hey, that's my girl. I said, yo, my man, back up.
Get it? This guy, look, is it the nicest thing in the world? No, but they're stereotyped. It's all right. And he's right. You can't cancel Chappelle because he's rich and famous. And yes, to a certain degree, as a black man, he has certain privileges that, well, people who don't look like him don't have these days. I guess I'm not complaining about his privileges. I just think we should all have them. The privileges of free speech, the privileges of being bold, the privileges of sometimes making a mistake. When do we become so, what's the word? Unforgiving. Somebody said something nasty on Twitter. Fire them, kick them out of their home. Take everything from them. It's a tweet. It evaporates. It's a bunch of zeros and ones. Who cares? Are you? Very, very, very strange times. But it's interesting. You know, I'm going to leave the names out. I got a call from a fairly prominent politician today. And they're friendly to me. And they heard that somebody had said something about them in an interview. And they wanted to know all about it. Like, why did they say this? And how could they have said this about me? And, you know, 20 minutes go by and they're just agonizing over it. And I'm like, are you in politics or what? And this is the cost of doing business these days. It was so freeing for me because I wasn't always that way. If somebody said one bad word, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get this person on the phone. I'm a good person. They can't believe that about me. That was me. And then I don't know exactly what happened. I can't really put my finger on it, but a bunch of things happened all at once and kind of all gradually and all at once. Isn't that what they say? Gradually and all of a sudden. And I don't care. It's the most freeing thing in the world. Somebody once said, your opinion of me is none of my business. There's something to be said for that. It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to intellectually understand it, but to feel it, to feel that liberation, is fantastic. And given the state of affairs in this country, they want us inhibited. They want you inhibited. Look, I'm fine. I mean, I'm not fine. I'm not like one of those set for life guys. But I have a certain amount of latitude given my position. And it may be easier for me to say, not as easy as you think, but, and if you work for a hospital or if you work at a lumber yard, you know, they may not want you sounding off. And it may not be appropriate to sound off at work. But we can sound off about whatever the hell we want when we're home, right? Not really anymore. And that's wrong. Ever see The Four Freedoms, Norman Rockwell, all those people standing up? And I really like that guy. I think it's called Freedom of Speech. Norman Rockwell. Look it up. It's a great painting. And I saw this as a kid. And he looked like a factory worker. And he comes home from a hard day. But he's got something to say at the town meeting. Kind of looks like Abe Lincoln without the beard. But you know, that just stayed with me. You want to call it truth to power, freedom of speech, saying your mind, whatever. Just great. You know, they try to cancel all those paintings. You know why? Because it was a white guy. And they tried it. They rearranged it. So you got lesbians. You got this. You got that. Couldn't just accept it for the beauty. They had to copy it and put lesbians and all kinds of other people in. Now, why am I complaining about that? Number one, it was a beautiful work of art. I don't think it should have been altered. And number two, I don't even know what this guy's sexuality is. I don't even know anything about this. Norman Rockwell, was he, I guess I can say LGBTQ. Was he queer? Was he queer or questioning? I don't know. Some of the greatest artists we've ever had have been LGBTQ plus IA. Is that a big deal? I don't think so. And I think the art is what we respect. Unless, of course, it's created by a straight male. And something tells me Norman Rockwell was probably a straight male. And what's worse, he was probably a straight white male. And you know how, you know what degenerates we are. Goodness gracious, what a phony, unbelievably twisted and weird conversation that's happening. Maria is in Short Hills. Yes, Maria. Hi, what's up?
Greg, thanks for taking my call. Regarding the mass shooter in Buffalo, he's 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Where were his parents? Didn't they see something that was going on that was wrong? Weren't there any red flags? I'm a mom. You're a dad. If, God forbid, you saw one of your little girls, they weren't acting right. They were acting out of sorts. Something was bothering them. Wouldn't you or your wife or both of you sit down with them, talk to them, if necessary, get help? Where's this guy's parents?
Well, hold on, Maria. I'm sure we would, and I'm sure you would. And quite frankly, I'm sure they did. I saw a picture of them. They looked like, you know, just like any family you wouldn't look at twice. And I'm sure they did all those things. Look. My children are young, and I do know that things get complicated the older they get, especially in the teenage years. I'm not in a position to judge them. I don't know. I know that this is possibly one of the worst things that can happen to a family. It's one of the worst things that can happen, right? So I'm not going to come down hard on them. I guess I'm kind of weird this way. I sometimes think about it's awful to lose somebody to gun violence, and obviously the victims first and foremost, but it's so bizarre and weird and almost otherworldly to have your own flesh and blood carry out this kind of attack. I think about, quite frankly, who do I think about? The Columbine parents and Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris. You know, I think they wrote a book about it, the parents, because they're so reviled. They're rejected. I mean, and they make the assumptions. The community makes the assumptions. They should have known. They should have stopped it. Maybe. Maybe they tried. Adam Lanza's mother. Apparently she tried, and she was shot by Adam Lanza. I'm talking about the, Sandy Hook shooter. So I don't know. I don't know, Maria. You know what I mean?
I don't know, because he had to be obviously a very disturbed young man. And
so
I
what do? You just throw him? Maria? Do you just throw him in an asylum? It doesn't work that way. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have enough facts. This is still early in the investigation. I can't blame the parents yet. I know I could probably score easy points. But yeah, the parents, they should have. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. My heart breaks for them. That family. You think about it, Maria. Think about it. I mean, it's got to be hell, obviously, to lose a child to gun violence. But if your son or daughter was responsible for that gun violence, you know, the entire world is sympathizing with those victims right now. Those parents are probably being ostracized and second-guessed and all these things. I'm just not going to join that effort, Maria, and I want you to think about it deeper. I know you're a sensitive person, and we don't know enough. We can't just say, where are the parents? By the way, 18? 18 is an adult. You can vote. You can join the army. You can leave home. He doesn't have a parental guardian. At the 18, you are a free man, you are considered an adult. You understand that?
Oh, of course. I'm just putting the question out there, Greg, because, you know, I'm watching the news and nothing has been said about that. And, you know, as a mother, you know, it breaks my heart. And you as a dad, I'm sure, you know, it does also. Just our world is upside down.
It is, but do me a favor, take heart, all right? Don't, we can magnify, we can exact, look, this stuff has been happening for a long time. It really has been. It has been. Somebody said, no, the Columbine was the first one. No, it wasn't. University of Texas in the 1960s. What was that guy's name? Charles Whitman. He shot like 18 people from that tower in Texas. This has been going on for a long time. And with social media and 24/7, this, that, and the other thing, it looks pervasive, more pervasive than it is. I'm not saying things are perfect. I'm not saying things aren't getting worse. Let's keep our heads about us. Thank you. I need a moment. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Well, folks, America's most famous doctor, I certainly put him above Dr. Fauci in so many ways, Dr. Mehmet Oz, Republican Senate candidate in Pennsylvania, of course, host of the Dr. Oz show, author of a million books. Dr. Oz, Election Day is tomorrow. Welcome back to the show. How you feeling?
Very strong. You know, the polls are supportive of my feeling, but it's more that there's a coalescing of the Republican primary voters around my candidacy. You know, I fought for Americans against powerful insiders my entire career. Everyone witnessed it during the COVID pandemic, taking on these mandates and shutdowns that made no sense. That's why I wanted to fire Fauci, and I appreciate you mentioning him. But he has got to go because he hurt our ability to speak to each other about the right way to move forward. And by censoring us, he hurt this country. But that same twisting of science, it's hurting our children now with gender studies. The biologic men just cannot be allowed to play women's sports. These are fundamental reasons, but they're based on false stories that the Democrats spread. What I'm good at is identifying those issues. And the good news is, with strong leadership, we can fix all this. I am that bold voice we need in D.C. to represent our Pennsylvania values. I'm pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-energy. Let's make this a land of plenty again by reducing regulations and incompetence so we're not concerned about finding baby formula or giving up our summer vacation to afford gas.
You had these town hall meetings across Pennsylvania. They seem very intimate. I have a feeling that people really got to know you. Tell us a little bit about that experience, and what did you learn from that process?
People need connection. They flocked to the town halls not because they were fans, but because they were curious. And when President Trump endorsed me, it increased it even more because folks have said, geez, you know, maybe I didn't really know him. I'm going to really go meet, you know, with the guy in person and figure out who he is. And it ended up getting a lot of attention because we were talking about stuff that really mattered to people, inflation and why it was caused by energy. We know when a woman who works in a coffee shop or a diner can explain energy policy and the lie of the Green New Deal better than Joe Biden's administration, it reminds you that there's wisdom here in the heartland. And we were able to figure out the things that folks are most concerned about. And here they are. Inflation caused by energy, and energy policy, by the way, strengthens our country, builds our local economy, drops inflation. Number two is the attack and assault on our kids, especially around to indoctrinate them, really animates a lot of primary voters. And finally, they just don't like that they can't say what they see. There's some basic things that you observe in life, you know, whether your social positions are aligned with that or your faith, but you just don't feel like you can say it. And that's why when President Trump endorsed me, he said I was smart, tough, and will never let you down. Because you have to be smart enough to understand the issues. We've talked about a couple, COVID, gender studies, and indoctrination, and then energy policy, right? You got to be smart. But then you got to be tough enough to deal with the pressure and the withering winds of criticism that happen when you take a stance against insider establishment vested interests, which I've been doing my whole career. I've got the scars to prove it, and I cannot be bought. And finally, I can never let you down because you want to be able to go to bed at night, put your head in that soft pillow and know whatever's going to happen, the guy will do the best job possible. And I've done that my whole career. I'll do it as your senator.
Awesome. Hey, Dr. Oz, actually, the mechanics of tomorrow, if you don't mind, what time do the polls open and what time do they close, actually? I'm not sure.
They open at 7. They close at 8 p.m. We will probably get results starting around 8:39. There are, you know, a fair number of ballots cast ahead of time, absentee ballots, but the vast majority will be cast at the polls. And it's a tight race. So, you know, plan to stay up late, but I'm excited about the outcome. We've worked very hard to be at this moment. And what is most reassuring is as the campaigns come towards their end, the leadership opportunities that are afforded me become that much more evident. When they're separating me from some of the competitors are saying, Oz has been there for us in the past. We've watched him in our living rooms every day for 13 years. We know who he is. He's not a mystery. And what he is what we want.
I can vouch for that. You know, technically, I'm not allowed to endorse anybody, but I really support Dr. Oz. I've known him for, I think, 14 years now. And you are the real deal. And I wish you success tomorrow. And I quite frankly thank you for taking the plunge. It's not an easy thing to do, but I think you elevated the conversation and, you know, you brought real talent and real accomplishment. You know, some people get into politics to get what you already have. I mean, let's face it, you're funny. I mean, you're well to do and you're kind of well known. A lot of people go into politics to get those things. Isn't that true?
Unfortunately, but I gave up. There's the network show and the safety of the OR. The OR is a safe place for doctors, not so much for the patients, because I know that the country is in a crisis that's addressable. The prognosis is superb. We just need to have vocal leadership people who have wisdom, have done the homework to lead this country in the right direction. If you just survey the average Pennsylvania voter, they are optimistic, but they don't have enough people working in their facilities. They feel like they're pulling the oars by themselves. They feel like the U.S. government is undermining them, and particularly becomes irrelevant when you have these unelected middle-level bureaucrats passing rules, mandates, levies that hurt you and don't help you. Free people up to be entrepreneurs. Allow capitalism, which is the best form of freedom there is, to work, and we'll be just fine. So basically, I'm going to Washington to make sure Washington stops interfering with how America works. And that's something that I think all Republicans, conservatives enjoy, because that's in our Constitution.
Awesome. Dr. Oz, best of luck tomorrow. And oh, by the way, folks, you can see Dr. Oz tonight on my Newsmax show at 7 o'clock. Dr. Oz, good luck and continued safety on the campaign trail. Best to everybody, okay?
Well, we're going to be doing a big town hall, so you'll be coming to me live with Greg with all the excitement around it. So don't miss it. Best plug. Thank you very much.
We love it. We love it. Thank you, Dr. Oz. Go to DrOz.com for more info, and we'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
It doesn't really matter that much, but I am curious. I will probably watch, and we may dip into it as a group. The new press secretary takes over today at the White House, Karine Jean-Pierre. And, oh boy, does she have a lot going for her, according to the woke left. Let's see. Number one, she's a woman. Congratulations. Number two, what else is good about her? Oh, yeah, she's a lesbian. They love that. Number three, oh, yeah, she was born in another country. Oh, man, it doesn't get much better than that. Now, for me, all those factors are irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. And, oh, by the way, because they weren't relevant when my friend, actually, Dana White, who I don't, it's not, sexuality has nothing to do with that. I believe she's a straight person, and she happens to be a woman of color. And, oh, by the way, she had one of the top jobs in communications in the world, leading communications for the Pentagon under, wrong president, Donald Trump. Yes. So they're not going to pay much mind to somebody like that, because you never wrote anything positive about anybody who worked for Trump or Trump himself. The only way you can get positive press, if you worked for Trump, was when you quit and went to Capitol Hill to turn him in, like Vindman and people like that. So identity politics, I don't like them. Seems like they're here to stay. I don't think so. I think we're going to get bored of it all, don't you? I'm already bored. Where is this Karine Jean-Pierre? Oh, yeah. The first thing that she should be asked when she comes to the podium today is, shouldn't you apologize for this horrible stuff you said about Trump and Trump supporters? Cut 51, please.
The president has the temperament of a toddler and the mind of a white supremacist. He knows that he's emboldening racist and bigots. A white man with all of his privilege comes on stage and steps into our personal space. Donald Trump's racism is a toxic and dangerous brew. We've known Donald Trump has been a racist for a very long time. That is not surprising. When you look at those protests, Joy, of those folks who want to take over the Capitol because they want to reopen the government, they're mostly white men, and they're mostly angry, and they have so much hate.
This is a black woman saying all those horrible things about white men. I'm not comfortable with that, as Eric Adams might say. I don't know if I like somebody telling them. Look, I don't care what the hell she looks like or what her orientation is, but that's not an appropriate person for this job. White House press secretary. Yes, sure, it's a political job, but that, talk about having absolutely no credibility. But again, identity politics being what they are, as long as she's, and what about Joe Biden, huh? What about this guy? Just talk about a guy who's barely hanging on. Oh, and setting the rules. By the way, it's amazing that he can appear in public and never have to face a question. Hey, wait, stop all that crap. Wasn't it great to have Dr. Oz on? I think the guy's amazing. I really do. A truly great man of just such tremendous ability and accomplishment. And you know what? I still, believe it or not, even though politicians and that kind of thing, I have a certain reverence for the United States Senate. And to a lesser extent for the U.S. Congress, the House. You know, our country's been around for 240-something years, right? 46 years, I think. And in that time, do you know how many people have held federal office? If you added it all up, I think it's like 13,000 people. It's not many people. All right? You couldn't fill Shea Stadium, Citi Field, Yankee Stadium. It's like 13,000 people. The place would be empty. It's a pretty big deal. And I think that we should have high achievers in those offices. I do. I want to be represented, but I don't necessarily want to be replicated. All right? I want somebody worthy of the job. And Kathy Barnett ain't worthy of the job. I was just talking about identity politics. It happens with conservatives, apparently, and it happens with, well, phony conservatives, because this is not how, this is Kathy Barnett, totally unknown, has been lying about everything, leaving weird details out. Her resume is a great big padded joke. Who the hell talks like this? Kathy Barnett, do I have to point out she happens to be a woman of color? I don't care, but she sure does. Cut 47.
Get my yard sign. Get my palm card. If you're really hesitant about speaking, get the palm card, pounce on your neighbor, and just hand them the card. And if they say, no, I don't want it, shame them. Really? You don't want to support the first black person? Are you a racist? Say it to them. That's what they say to you. Why do you think I put my little black face on my yard sign?
I don't like that. I don't think that's how conservatives talk. And I do think there's an element out there of, oh, wow, she's conservative like me, and there's a virtue signal, right? I'm sorry, but a lot of folks who happen to be white have been maligned, and the whole system is racist and all this stuff, and here's an opportunity. Oh, it worked with Barack Obama, right? I think we voted for Barack Obama because he was the most experienced guy. He was the smartest guy. He was really good at getting legislation through. No, of course not. It was his story, and the biggest part of his story, quite frankly, was being black. And having a funny name. And the biggest part of, what's her name here? Kathy Barnett? Black. Mother was young. Didn't have an abortion. I am sick of stories. I want competence. I want accomplishment. And Donald Trump, by the way, I mean, that's accomplishment. I noticed, you know, he talked about his successes, of course. Did he talk all that much about, you know, when I was 30, I was trying to get the permit for the hotel, and it was tough. It was tough, Greg. I tried, and I went to City Hall, and I told Koch, I said, you do this, buddy. Actually, it wasn't Koch. It was Abe Beam. And I said, Abe is a very short man. He was short, you know, Greg? He was short. And I said, I need this, and if you don't give me these tax abatements, he didn't go into that. It wasn't his story. It was us. It was the country. It was security, border security, strength overseas, not losing wars, not losing trade wars. Enough with the story. We took one look at him. We knew the name. We knew him for 45 years. He didn't have to go around telling his story. We knew it. And now Kathy, we got to learn all about Kathy's story. Hey, Vic is in Pennsylvania. Probably wants to say something about the race. Hi, Vic. What's up?
Yeah, Greg, you know, I was listening to Kill Me today, and he had Barnett on, followed by Dr. Oz. I was hoping that maybe you could do the same. Get her on, because you know where the bodies are buried. You're going to ask her the right questions.
You know,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, she can come on, but here's the deal. That's a lot of people do this kind of thing. Look, I have said I've been very, very critical of her. I've been very, very critical of McCormick. Generally speaking, when you're a person like me and, you know, you hold a political opinion and you voice it as aggressively as I sometimes do, one of the consequences of being that way is they're not going to come on your show. But that's okay. I don't need them, quite frankly, to do what I do. Now, there are others out there, and I'm not talking about Kill Me, but there are others out there who need these guests, who just need them. So whatever they say is designed to not offend, or, you know, they're not going to go too far because they want them to show up someday. Me, I don't care. But I genuinely have respect, admiration, and for Dr. Oz. And I really think he's great, and I hope he wins. I'm not officially endorsing anybody because I can't. But does that make sense? I know there are programs where you can go see these guys, but generally speaking, the anchors aren't like me, which is ultra opinionated and, you know, detail oriented about these guys. I've gone into excessive detail about why I don't like David McCormick and about why I don't like Barnett here. And I'll put all that aside and have them come on the night before Election Day. It could be, well, there could be an awful incident, if you know what I mean, Vic.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to say was when that that Christmas parade where, you know, it was a person of color and the media kept blaming the truck. The truck ran in and killed all these people. Never a mention or a word. And I think you brought it out. Biden didn't go there or have any concern. It's only if it's people of color that, you know, that are attacked or whatever. You know, white supremacists, as he'd like to say.
Yeah, I know. It's you're right, and you're right about that. I remember now. Yeah, it was like the truck did it. It was like the truck's fault. It was so bizarre, and this is not how you unify a country. I mean, I'd like to have common values and things like that. We all decry violence. We all decry racism. And sorry to, I mean, do I have to apologize first? Black people are capable of racism, all right? It's true. And this young man, obviously a racist up in Buffalo, it happens. You know, this country's gotten stupid. Everything they don't agree with is a racist. You're a racist. It's absurd, as you know. Hey, Vic, you're in Pennsylvania. Cherry Ridge, where's that?
Near Homesdale. We're in the Poconos.
Ah, beautiful Mount Airy Lodge.
Not too far, but, you know, we're 2 hours and 20 minutes from, Queens.
Hey, let's face it, that, beautiful Mount Airy Lodge, according to the commercials, if you read between the lines, it was a bit of a sex club. What, with the beds shaped like hearts and mirrors on the ceiling? I mean, what the hell was going on there?
They probably still have.
Remember, they had the Playboy Club out there in the Poconos too, right?
I wasn't up here then. I'm only up here 2.5 years.
All right. I don't want to bring you down into the gutter here, Vic. Thank you very much. Good luck. Get out there and vote. You know who I'm pulling for. One other. Who wants to fight? Who wants to fight? Nobody wants to fight. Ken in New Jersey. Yes. Never mind. Marie in New Jersey, yes.
Hi, how are you, Mr. Cowley? Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for taking me off a speakerphone.
How are you?
Much better. What's up?
I'm agreeing with that man from Pennsylvania. What he said about when the thing happened. I get nervous when I talk on the radio. I'm sorry. Grandmothers that were all mowed down by a black man. Why isn't that called black supremacy?
Black supremacy or black extremist ideology. I mean, the guy was clearly racially motivated. And it's so cynical and sad and warped and weird. And, oh, by the way, easily shown. I mean, I'm going to do it tonight. I've been doing it on the show today. When I compare and contrast the comments made about that to what they're saying about Buffalo, it is night and day. It's crazy. Anyway,
listen, it's all run by Democrat people, isn't it? And aren't they racist? Aren't they? I mean, when you think about it, Ku Klux Klan, what are they? Democrats. I'm just so tired.
Does the Klan ever even really exist anymore? I mean, is anybody ever even doing that?
Oh, let me explain something.
What? How do you know? You're in New Jersey. Come on. What do you mean the Klan? What are you going to tell me about the Klan?
My father had a business. They came into it because it was a business where, I don't want to say what it was, but he had mostly black men working for him. And they asked him if he wanted to join in. He's like, yeah, no, thank you. Okay. They used to call my father Cracker.
Okay, but what year was this? What year was this?
1980.
What state?
Not going to say, but it exists. The Klux Klan is still out there.
I would imagine, I guess, but I mean, man, oh man, can they even show their stupid hoods anymore?
No, they didn't come out. They were just in regular clothes. But what about, like, Kathy Hochul. Why is it white supremacy?
Oh, Kathy Hochul. By the way, hey, isn't it amazing that nobody, this shooter. Hey, hold on a second. I want to hear this. Remember the good talking to that Kathy Hochul gave everybody? Kathy Hochul said, stay off my lawn, right? And this shooter did not take the instruction well. It wasn't that long ago, right? Kathy Hochul. Oh, well. Hold on a second. This is good. She has she's so flabbergasted that somebody shot up the subway car. All right. Let me know when you get that. Marie, I got to go in a second. Anything else?
How come if I'm in my home and I'm paying my taxpayer money, somebody comes and robs me? I don't care what color they are, but I have to run out the back door. I can't attack them.
Well, calm down.
Wait, you can relax.
Number one, you can attack them.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No,
especially
you
if they break
you
into your house.
Out your door. They break into your home.
And you have a gun. Where do you live? Jersey. What part?
I'm a Jersey girl.
Do you have a gun?
Florida. DeSantis has a right.
Do you have a gun?
That's the right idea.
No, that's the stand your ground law. We're talking about something that happens inside. If you're in the home.
They can still come after you. They can sue you and everything like that. It's happened.
Have you been robbed lately?
No.
All right.
No.
Well, let's.
I sleep with a knife. I sleep with an alarm.
Be careful with the knife. You're going to stab yourself if you roll over the wrong way.
And I have a bully, and I have one of those sticks that the cops used to have.
All right, now you're sounding a little paranoid. Where the hell do you live in New Jersey?
I live in a town.
All right, downtown. I mean, do you live in downtown Newark or what? No.
No, I'm 10 minutes out of Newark. I'm Chatham. I'm in Chatham.
All right, relax. Maybe you should move. I don't like the idea of you having a knife under the pillow. But anyway, here's Kathy Hochul telling everybody to pipe down. Go ahead.
No more. No more mass shootings. No more disrupting lives. No more creating heartbreak for people just trying to live their lives as normal New Yorkers. It has to end. It ends now.
You hear that?
We are sick and tired of reading headlines about mass shooting.
It ends now.
Mr. Kelly, you know how it's going to end? When we get rid of the woke.
What do you mean get rid of the woke?
Put them on an island somewhere.
Oh, stop. What do you mean? Stop with that. You don't put people on islands. Come on. What?
Come on. Isn't that funny, though? Get rid of them. Wouldn't you like to see Kathy Hochul, AOC?
I'd like to see her voted out. I don't want to, put her on some island anyway. We'll beat them with our ideas, Marie. And be careful with that knife under the pillow. But look, I got to look up that stuff because I know it does vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And yes, people can get in trouble for shooting a guy in their own house, even if they come in, which sounds crazy. I do believe, though, primarily for the most part, you are on solid ground. If somebody comes into your house, bam, although that gun better be legal. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, once again, welcome back. Tomorrow is primary day in Pennsylvania. I'm too depressed about the situation in New York City. Eric Adams running around, still total fruitcake, going to party after party, not taking his responsibilities seriously, saying just this weekend that women should be able to have abortions even after they give birth. Is that true? Did he say? I mean, all the way up to 9 months plus? Give me a break. A little bit back to normal in the city. But I am focused on Pennsylvania as much as the country is. One more time on this Kathy Barnett. I'm telling you, folks, it doesn't add up. Her story is bogus. And for her to say that she's not going to support Oz or McCormick if they should win. And oh, by the way, you know what? I mean, as much as I have absolutely no regard for her, I'll give her this. She's probably better than that communist Fetterman. All right. Fetterman is the lieutenant governor or former lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. He is a total psychopath as far as I can tell. I mean, that might be a little extreme, but he's just a very unusual person. Looks like a communist, sounds like a communist. I think he is a communist. He even dresses like a communist. Hey, by the way, I hope he gets out of the hospital okay. He had a stroke, which is kind of unusual for a guy that age. He's in his 40s, I believe, and he had a stroke. Oh, boy. Anyway, get well soon, Fetterman, so you can get beat by Oz in November. But I would even say this. Kathy is going to be better, would be better. I mean, anyway, then I can't believe she wouldn't say that. That's what you're supposed to say. That's what you're supposed to do, by the way. So I really feel good about Dr. Oz, and keep your eye on that. And remember, somebody who lies about the little things will lie about the big things. And also, the evasiveness is crazy. Now, here it is. Again, straight question. Hey, Kathy, Where were you an adjunct professor? Shannon Bream asked her that on the Fox News Sunday show. Pretty straightforward question, huh? Can I hear that, please? The long version.
Where were you an adjunct college professor?
Yes, you know, and in fact, let me just make this really short for you.
Stop it right there. Let me make this really short for you. Then just say the name of the college. And she speaks for another minute and a half and never gives an answer. Listen. Keep going.
In fact, let me just make this really short for you. And to your list and to your viewers, you can go to my website at barnettforsenate.com. We've placed right there on the front page, you'll see my family, and around my family is a will. And we place right there the things you want to know about Kathy Barnett. You know, I've been running this race now for about 13 months. And if you listen to the mainstream media, you would think I crawled from under a rock yesterday. I did not. We've been out here for 13 months. We started off doing about 900 miles a week.
Hey, stop it for a second. Now, how the hell is it that she was able to be out? She's not answering the question, by the way. She'll go on, never say the name of the university. But how can she campaign for 13 months? She's not a wealthy person. And she just lost another campaign. What do you do for a living? That's my big question. What is your job? What was your job? Well, I'm a mom and I'm a veteran. I got out of the military 20 years ago, even though my paperwork's, and I got accepted at Officer Candidate School. What? It makes no sense. I went to Officer Candidate School, folks. She did not go. She did not qualify. There's absolutely no way that happened. And she does not have the paperwork to prove it. And that's the problem. That's what she's getting called out on. That's why she's being so evasive, by the way, on that. All right, let's keep going.
And bumped it up to 1,000. Now, these last couple of months, we've been traveling over 1,500 miles every single week. So I have been out here stomping the ground, getting to understand what the issues are in Pennsylvania. And the media was derelict in their duty. I've been in, in a statistical tie for first place, not just 1 week, but for about 4 weeks.
So, again, she was asked about what college was she an adjunct professor. And it keeps going on like this. Keep going.
Here doing the hard work. The numbers have been showing it. No one paid attention to me. They were too obsessed with the two men in this race.
Men.
And didn't bother to take a look at what it is that we were doing.
Wow. Those men. She didn't have an answer. All that hot air didn't have an answer. Go to my website. Go to my website. Go to my website. Well, I went to her website. And it's a pathetic joke. I think she had nursery school kids design this thing for her. I'm not kidding. Here's question three. When did you go to OCS? Officer Candidate School. I told you. That's the thing I went to. That's how they evaluate and screen potential officers. It's the hardest training in the world. Yes, including SEAL training, by the way. All right. So what does she say about that? She says, well, I applied and I was accepted, but I stopped because I got married. Well, what about when? Nothing adds up. Good luck, Pennsylvania. Polls open at 8 o'clock. They close. No, wait. They open at 7 a.m. and they close at 8 p.m. We'll be watching very, very carefully. Good luck, Dr. Roz. I shall see you guys tonight. I'm sorry I didn't get to more phone calls. Hey, Peter, you got the final word. What's up, Peter? Real quick.
Hey, Greg. Final word. What's Russia going to do without McDonald's?
Yeah, I heard they closed it up for good. Sorry I took so long, Peter. And everybody, see you tomorrow. To be continued. Many thanks.